member. This morning, basically my sermon is an introduction to the series that we're going to do over the next number of weeks. And as we come to 1 Corinthians, they're telling me the mic is not on. It's on now, right?
All right, very good.
As we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, what we find is God inspiring the Apostle Paul to write to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is part of the it's part of the section that comes down that would be modern Greece, just south of where Athens is, right in that area there. And so as he writes to the church in Corinth, he's going to reference some individuals. And as he references those individuals, we get a glimpse in the window of those local churches. It would be kind of like somebody walking up right now and looking through these windows and peering in and seeing who's in church this morning and what part do they have in the church and what they're doing. And so we're kind of getting a glimpse into this ancient church. So look with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm going to read to you verses 15 down through 18. It says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. And I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." And so we find the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth, referencing these different things that are going on. And through that, we are introduced to the early church. The functions and activities, the interplay of people in relation one to another as they serve God. He starts off in verse 15 there and simply reveals to us that the local church is actually a part of the contemporary community, just like our church. Our church is not a church to 100 years ago or to 100 years in the future. Our church is a church to today, isn't it? To our community today, to your life today. We can't go back and minister to people 50 years ago. Neither can we transport ourselves into the future and minister to people 50 years from now. We as a church have to work one with another today. And that's exactly what we see take place in verse 15. When he simply says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." He says, listen, I want to remind you. I want to remind you of somebody that you know. You know the household of Stephanas. He says, Stephanas is one of yours. He's somebody who's a part of your community. In fact, Stephanas was one of the first people in your community who came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's always interesting when we look in the Bible and we see the Bible give to us reference points. And it's because the Scriptures want us to know that it's extremely relevant to people where they lived at that time, as well as people who live today that are reading it in their time. So he says to us, Stephanas of Achaeus. And what that is, it's a region of the old Roman Empire that if you were to look today at modern day Greece, it almost follows the same borders as Achaeus. So he's really talking about what you and I would refer to as modern day Greece. And he says Stephanas is somebody who was saved in their community, in that region of the Roman Empire. He's somebody that you, if you lived at that time, would know as a Christian because he was one of the first Christians. But who were these people? The Apostle Paul tells us when you look in Acts chapter 17, He says to the people when he's speaking in the city of Athens up upon Mars Hill, he makes a proclamation to them. And he says to them, you people are exceedingly superstitious. And what that simply meant was they were a people who were full of ideas of spirituality. In fact, he said to them, as I was journeying through your city in Greece here, in the city of Athens, I noticed that you had a monument to every single god under the sun, including a monument to the unknown god, just in case you missed one. So the Apostle Paul said to them, in fact, today I'm going to preach to you the unknown God. And he preached to them of Christ and God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the universe, and introduced the people at that time to the one and only living God. Well, that's who these folks are that he's talking to in Corinth. That's the kind of people he's talking to when he references Stephanus. He's talking to people who lived there at that time, just like you and I live here in our time. Real people. If we're not careful sometimes, we read the Bible like they're not real people. Like it's a storybook. It's not a storybook, it's a historical record of people's lives and how that God touched those lives. And that's what the church is all about. It's about God touching lives, using you and I, one with another, to interact, interplay, interconnect for the cause of Christ. The church starts with individuals. In fact, when he makes this reference to Stephanus, he's referring to folks where the church began. Churches started in people's homes. Churches started in small nooks and crannies, alleyways, any place where they could begin to gather. In fact, when you read in the book of Acts, you find them even ministering down on the side of the river where women would come down and pray, where they would meet and wash their clothes. There the apostles would meet them and share the gospel with them. And from that would be birthed the beginning of a church assembly. You see, it starts with individuals. Just like Stephanus. Somebody who has a wife and children. A woman who has a husband and parents and kids. People who are industrious, working in their community. People just like you and I. But not only do we see that the church is a vibrant part of a contemporary community. In other words, it's part of today. We can't think of it historically in the past and only in the future, but today. But also we find when we look in this text that the church really sets a standard. It sets a standard of service for all of us for the cause of Christ. There's a reason why God left you and I here. You see, the reality is when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you became a child of God. And the Bible tells us when we receive Christ, we are born again. Old things pass away, all things become new, and we become the children of God. Now, I can attest as the parent of two children that if I had my selfish way, do you know where my kids would live? Not with me. But next door to me. You know, I'd have a house on one side for one and a house on the other side for the other. And every day I'd interact with the grandkids. But that would be my selfish desire. But you know what? I have to let them live their lives wherever God plants them. Amen? Well, God has within His power that at the moment you became a Christian, He could have just brought you home. He could have said, well, you know what? Now that you're mine, you've received me, you're born again, you're a child of the King, then come on home. And He could have just caught us up, snatched us up, and brought us to be with Him. But He left you here for a reason. It's not random. I want you to notice when we look in this text, Look again with me at the latter part of verse 15 and verse 16, because I want you to see the standard set by that early church. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So he's talking about the standard set of being addicted to ministering to others. That's an interesting term when we talk about addictions. You know, oftentimes when we think of addictions, we think of negative things, don't we? We think of drug addictions or people who are addicted to porn or addicted to some other destructive thing in their life. But sometimes addictions can be positive. It can be positive that we find something in our lives that is healthy and wholesome and good, and we get involved in it and we love doing it. And that's what he says about Stephanas. He says, Stephanas and his household are addicted to ministering to others. And then he goes on in verse 16 and he says, and you and I should submit ourselves to the same thing. Now, in the culture, the day and age that we live in, there are many addictions. I love the fish. Any of you like to fish? I almost never find time to do it. Sometimes a whole year will go by and I don't get to go fishing. Same thing with hunting. But I love to do it anyways. 46 billion dollars. That's a lot of money. 46 billion dollars is spent annually in the United States on fishing gear. 46 billion. It's a lot, isn't it? 20 million bicycles. People like the bike? 20 million bicycles are bought annually in the United States. 20 million. That's astounding to me. Public universities in the United States who belong to the NCAA Division I sports level, they spend six times as much money on their athletes than they do on educating a student. Let that sink in. We're so addicted to sports that we would spend six times the money public universities on athletes than educating students. That's astounding to me. In the year 2012, and I know that some of you, this is going to offend you, but you know I love you anyways. In 2012, $52 billion was spent on our pets. Let that sink in. $52 billion spent on our pets. $6.2 billion of the $52 billion was just spent on dog grooming and pet treats. Listen, we as a culture do addictions. From fishing to pets to sports to who knows what. But when God talks about the church, he's saying, listen, if you want to get hooked on something, if you want to make something the driving force of your daily activity, he says, make it ministering to others. That's what a church does. Not the church office. The church is the body of believers. It's you and I. It's all of us. It's not about what takes place in the office and out. It's about what takes place in this room right here and beyond. And so he tells us, he says, the household of Stephanas is addicted to ministering to others. And he says, you and I, every one of us, should submit ourselves unto such. And then he adds to that last part in verse 16, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. You see, he has set the standard of service by pointing out the life of Stephanas. He says to us that you and I, as a local church, we're supposed to be about ministering to one another and to the community we live in, and helping others to minister and laboring as we minister one with another. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. We are supposed to be impacting our church family, our community, and our world for Jesus Christ. If you're going to get hooked on something, which I know that in Vermont they're working to pass legalized pot, gateway drug. If you're looking to get hooked on something, put the pot away and start ministering to your neighbor. Put the prescription drugs that people get hooked on. Not the ones you need, like blood pressure, but the other ones. Get off all the addictions of our culture and our day. And embrace ministering to other people around you and helping others and laboring for the cause of Christ. That's the standard of service set. And as we come down into the next couple of verses, verses in 17 and 18, he shows us how that by being a vibrant, active church and ministering to others in the contemporary day you live in, you begin to see lives change. You see, that's God's desire. That's why he left us here. He could have taken us home, but he left us here to impact the lives of those who live around us. Look at what he says in verses 17 and 18 of 1 Corinthians 16. He says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Now, a minute ago, I showed you the little clip that quoted the Bible in talking to us about the church being a body of believers. Some are the mouth, some are the eyes, some are the hands, some are the feet. The Bible says, you know what? The less comely parts may be more important than the comely parts. In fact, when you go to the book of Romans, it tells us how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. I can't get it up any higher there. I'd show it to you. But you know what he talks about our body as a symbol, as an illustration of our body of the church? You and I, every one of us, we're not all the same. Can you imagine if God created us to be nothing but an eyeball rolling around? That's disgusting. But God created us with all different components. And it's the same thing with the church as a body. You and I are all different pieces and parts. And when we come down here to this verse, and he talks about Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, do you notice what he says in the last part of verse 17? For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. He's saying in that church at that time, what John couldn't do, Nick was able to do. What Kathy couldn't do, Kathy could do. You see, each and every one of us is added to a body of believers. Why? Because it takes many to accomplish the function of God's work. So, this family right here, they have their gifts for the Lord. And what they cannot do, this family right here, they do for the Lord. And that's what he's saying about this early church. He says what you could not do, they were able to do. And what they were not able to do, you can do. But what I want you to really note is in here, he's not talking about what we get. What we get. It's what we give. See, if we're not careful sometimes, we really think the church is kind of like a country club where we come in and we pay our dues and then we sit back in a lounge chair and we say, Pastor, I would like to have a non-alcoholic fruity-tooty. Could you get that for me? That's not what the church is. The church is about all of us giving, ministering to each other and to the world for the cause of Christ. And the amazing thing is, when we all minister, we all get ministered to. Doesn't it make sense? Amen? It's kind of like at your house. When dad does his part and mom does her part, and all the boys and girls do their part, then all the parts are met. Amen? But when dad drops the ball and never takes the trash out for a month and a half, what happens? Yeah, you're right. Starts to pile up. And probably it would never happen in your house, but probably in my house, Sandra Joe would be saying, Tim, are you going to take the trash out? So I do my part. Her job's to fill the trash can. She does her part, I do my part. We all do our part, and therefore everything comes together and is accomplished. That's what the church is about. Some of us are the mouth. The preacher is the mouth, isn't he? We're all the ear. In fact, the Bible tells us we should hear more than we say. So we learn here. We learn one thing, and that is that each of us has to fulfill the role that God has given us to make up for what others cannot do. That's why he says, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. But look down to verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are set such. So we find that, you know what? The early church understood the concept. When they're all ministering, they're all making a difference, then it is refreshing. Amen? But when people don't do their part, it becomes harder, doesn't it? It gets harder. Same thing at your house. Mom comes home, the teenagers have been kicked out back on the couch ever since school got out. They're watching TV, texting, doing the computer all simultaneously. But they forgot that mom had told them, I need you to vacuum, fold the clothes, and get the dishes ready for supper. So when she comes home after a hard day's work, all of a sudden her job is harder. Because they didn't do their part. Amen? Well, it's the same thing with the church. If we don't all do our part, we're not all refreshed. He says here, he says, listen, these guys, those who couldn't, they did. And those that couldn't overhear, they did their part. And therefore, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. You and I, as we serve God together, as we make a difference for the cause of Christ, we refresh one another's spirit. Your spirit, my spirit, all of us, we work together to the glory of God. And thereby we are refreshed. It's not about what we get. It's about all of us giving so that we can all be refreshed. It's kind of insightful, isn't it? It's very much like a family at home. It's like the family who, you know, mom says to everybody, okay, I'm going to wash the clothes and I'm going to put the basket right here and everybody needs to fold their own. Have you ever heard anything like that? That's crazy, isn't it? And so some dig it out, they throw everybody else's to the side, they get out their stuff, they fold it up, they take it to their room. But the other three, they just leave it all like that. Now they made it harder for mom. Now one was blessed and part of mom. But the others who left it, they made a bigger mess. But everybody, if they'd all done their part, it would have refreshed them all. And that's what he's saying about this church. You and I in the church we live in the day and age that we come and worship right here at our contemporary time, in our little Achaia or Greece, in our Addison County, Vermont, God has left us here and added us to this assembly that each of us might be the body part that's needed for the addiction to ministry, ministering to one another, to our community, and to the world. And then look at the last part of verse 18. He says, "For they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." You know, it's a good thing to say thank you. Amen? While we're worshiping in this room right now, that little camera is sending an image down into the nursery. And down in the nursery are little boys and girls being contentedly taken care of by volunteers. And do you know what? If your little boy or girl is down there, today when you pick them up, acknowledge your gratitude. Simply say, thank you. Amen? While we're in here worshiping, down in the fellowship hall, and in the lower building, the preschool building, there is both a primary church and a junior church going on right now. And there are people down there serving. They're ministering. And when you pick up your boys and girls this morning, wouldn't it be wonderful to just go to the teacher and say, thank you. Thank you. 9:45 this morning, we had Bible hour, Sunday school. We have 6 adult classes. We've got a junior high class, a teen class. We have all the children's different classes. They all minister to the different ages of boys and girls, teaching them the Bible. Wouldn't it be nice to say thank you? Our treasurer, Ann, she takes care of the books for us. It'd be a good thing to say thank you. He says, it's good to acknowledge those who minister. But the beauty of it is if we're all ministering, then we all get a thank you. Amen? You see, you and I, we're quick in the society we live in today to look around, look at our government, look at the structure, and we say to ourselves, come on, aren't they going to do anything in Washington? Are they just going to continue to sit in their ivory tower and come up with crazy things? Or are they going to accomplish something? But maybe sometimes we have to sit back and we have to look at ourselves. We have to say about us, what am I doing? What am I doing to minister, to make a difference, to change the lives of others? What am I doing to step outside my comfortable spot and to make a difference for the cause of Christ? You see, that's what the church is here for. When God established the church, the assembling together of believers, He did it for us to make a difference. This world desperately needs Christ. I gave you the statistics that the generation that's right now coming up through school and starting having children and beginning their careers. In our country, only 15% of them claim to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. 15%. If you don't believe me, ask your kids who go to high school. How many of their friends at high school are committed Christians? And they'll tell you very few. We have to accept what God left us here for. And that is to minister for the cause of Christ. When we come and worship and adore God, it's that we might be refreshed and strengthened, that we might go back into our community and represent Him as the ear, the nose, the mouth, the breath of God in the world we live in today. I'd like you to bow your heads with me if you would.